Welcome to Refresh, a podcast designed to revive, recharge, and renew your faith and give you the tools to follow Jesus. Refresh comes to you from the Salvation Army in Gwinnett County, Georgia. We meet in person every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or online on Facebook and YouTube at Sal Army Gwinnett. We are excited that you have joined us this week and pray that God will bring His Word to life. And now, for our speaker.
Now, if you were with us last week, we started a new two-week series on the book of Philemon, which was beautifully read just a moment ago. Those are some really difficult words for me. So, well done. And so what I'm going to do today is I'm just going to jump in. I'm going to jump in into this letter. You may think, well, this is a short letter, but I assure you there is some stuff in here that we need to get to. And so if you were not with us last week, then I do encourage you to go back. We can listen to it online. We have a podcast, all that stuff that really sets up the context for this short letter. But we're just going to pick up where we left off. And so we left off with Onesimus hand-delivering, if you remember, hand-delivering a letter to Philemon that was written by Paul. And so to kind of just briefly recap on how we got to that point, Onesimus is a runaway slave. He's on the road. He's left. He left before his debt was paid. And so what we most likely know when we kind of dive into Onesimus a little bit is that he was in some financial debt to Philemon for some reason. This is kind of what most people are assuming about this relationship. And so what's happened is that before the debt was paid, that he left. He was on the road. He got out of Dodge. You see, at this particular time, kind of paying your debt, if you didn't have the money to do it, you could pay your debt through physical labor. That was an acceptable form, the thing to do at that time. And so before the debt was square, this guy just left in the middle of the night and he hit the road. So he dishonored the agreement between the two of them and then he left. But while he was on the run, while he was trying to get away as fast as possible from having to deal with this reality, we see that Onesimus somehow, at some point, came across this guy named Paul. And he heard his preaching and his teaching, and he was saved. Somewhere along the line, on his run, he was saved under his teaching and his preaching. So Onesimus was completely transformed, just transformed from the moment he heard the gospel into his life. And at that point in time, he was done running. It was over. I'm done running. This is where I'm going to be now. In fact, he wanted to stay with Paul. He said, man, I really like this guy. I'm going to stay with him for the foreseeable future. And so this is what we know so far. And in the scripture, in the context of what we know, is that Onesimus eventually became Paul's assistant. And so Paul ends up becoming a part of house arrest. You know, Rome has his eye on Paul. You're not going to go anywhere. You're under house. And so Onesimus becomes his assistant. He helps him with, you know, the daily things, deliver this, do that, all this little stuff. Onesimus kind of comes his helper. And so this relationship was going on for a while. He was a good helper. He was learning. He was understanding the scripture. Paul was teaching him. He was preaching all this stuff. And then just one day, for some reason, out of the blue, I mean, Onesimus doesn't even know why, but for just one day, there was a moment when Paul came and told Onesimus that he needed to go back and reconcile with his master. What do you mean go back? And essentially, Paul is saying that there becomes a point where our spiritual growth stops until we deal with the things that we're running from. But he didn't send them on his own. He didn't just say, here, good luck. If it works out, I would love to have you back. No, he sends him with some help. And so because he's under house arrest in Rome, Paul sends him with the helper. Tychicus is who he sends with. So you're going to take one of these other guys. They're going to go with you. They're going to journey with you. And then he hands him two letters. And he tells them that one of the letters is for Philemon, and the other was to be handed to the church after you guys get this squared out. And so he has these two letters in his hand. And so surprising, in an act of spiritual maturity, Onesimus agrees. He takes the two letters, he goes with his buddy, and they start to head back home to pay whatever price needs to be paid. And when he arrives, he's taken straight to Philemon, who is, boy, he's surprised to see him. What are you doing back? I mean, usually you don't leave in the middle of the night, and then I just see you walking, strolling back. This isn't normal. So he was a bit surprised. And so before, I would imagine, before words were exchanged, Philemon just said, here, read this. Here, Paul wrote this. Here, just hands it over to him. And so now these two are at a cross point. Philemon, who is a leader of the church, a respected leader of the church, and Onesimus, a believer who has returned to make right what was wrong. Friends, these are the moments in our lives when we choose to decide if we are or if we are not going to be like Jesus. Let's pray together. So, Father, we do pray just over this time, jumping into your scripture and this short little letter that for some reason you wanted us to read even today. We ask for your interpretation of it and your clarity of this scripture. Father, in my study, I pray that I've interpreted it in your truth and words, and that that's what I say today. So, Lord, I pray this collectively as one, in unity under the cross, worshiping you as our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow, this has been a beautiful Sunday morning already. My goodness. Do you realize that everything this morning has been led by our youth? The band, the reading of scripture. I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, this is no disrespect to the senior band, but if I was standing in the gym, my untrained ears would have said, our band was on duty today. They sounded amazing and beautiful. And I want to be honest with you, during the offertory, I didn't want to interrupt it. I was just mesmerized by it. My goodness, these guys are so good. And then the praise team over here. All of that was our youth. I'll give Josh a little credit for the piano thing. But they're youth. These are our kiddos, man. They are phenomenal. So, hey, I'm proud of you. You're leaders today, right now. You led us into worship. And thank you for doing that. I also want to just say, knowing what tomorrow is, I thank you to all of our veterans who have served in our nation. I know there were those of you that you served and your name may not have been on the video, but I see you and I want to say thank you. And I also want to say that if you want your name on the video, I would love to put it on there and let me know and I'll get it on there for next year. But if you've served in our armed forces, thank you. It means dearly to me. Well, all right. Are you ready to kind of see where this goes? See what happened to our friend Onesimus? Well, all right. So here we are. We left off last week, right? So Onesimus is now standing at Philemon's doorstep, right? They're looking at each other, I would imagine. Maybe not like the Wild West per se, but they're just kind of looking at each other. And there's a letter in his hand. So Onesimus is, well, he's got two letters actually, but he's got one that he's kind of pointing his direction. Now Philemon, the guy who's on the other side of the door, who's ready to receive this, actually is very clearly stated in Scripture, is a righteous man. Like he's not a bad guy. He's actually, he's a saved, redeemed individual who's now at a cross, but he's making a choice. And I'm going to tell you that according to the law of the day, Philemon is actually within his rights to take action against Onesimus. And it wouldn't even be considered wrong. I mean, he's within the right to do it. You ran away before the debt was paid. This was the agreement. You broke the contract. And so this kind of moment here, Onesimus hands him the letter and he takes the letter and then he begins to read it. I'm in my head, he's doing this. I don't know, but, you know. And so he's kind of reading the letter there. And the first thing is when he opens up that letter, he sees that it's from his friend Paul. You see, Paul, he opens the letter to Philemon by giving thanksgiving and by addressing him as a dear friend. You see, the two of them, Philemon and Paul, the Apostle Paul, they're not strangers. They go back a ways. In fact, it is believed that Philemon himself was saved under Paul's preaching and teaching, just like Onesimus was. He came into town, he heard Paul preaching and teaching, he was mesmerized by the gospel, and then he received that into his heart. And so he knows Paul well. In fact, since that moment, Philemon has kind of become a leader in this newly church that was developed in the city of Colossae. And so now he's a part of that. He's even got a church meeting in his house. I mean, he's like small group leader, he's doing all the stuff. And so he's really in. And so Paul, when in his letter, when he speaks to him, he knows this. And so he sends some greetings to his family. We can see that at the beginning here. You know, say hey to Uncle Jill and this and that, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like all to the family members. And so then he sends some there to the church that's also in the house. So he says, hey, I know you have a church in the house. So say hi to them for me. You know, kind of give them a hello. But you and I know that no one ever writes a letter just to send greetings. Greetings are just the beginning, right? There's got to be a purpose, a reason on why we're writing this letter. And this letter, my friends, is no different. Now, it is a very short letter, especially compared to the other letter that Onesimus is holding, the one he's just kind of keeping on reserve right now. It's a little smaller than that one. And this is because this letter is only about one thing, just one thing. It's about the guy who's standing in front of him. It's about him. Now, Paul, in this letter, he uses a different tone, kind of a different way of writing. He's a little more laid back, if you will. Because you see, normally, Paul uses a tone, a kind of a writing style of teaching and rebuking and correcting. He's like, listen, guys, I love your heart. In fact, I'll give thanksgiving for it. But we need to correct this. And then we correct these things. And that's the normal tone. But this letter for Philemon is a bit more personal. It's like a letter between two friends who can kind of let their guard down a little bit. You know, I don't have to be the captain all the time. You can just, let's just have a chat, right? And so this is kind of the tone of the letter. And I'm going to tell you that this becomes very evident, this style, this tone becomes very evident in the very first thing that Paul said, or that he writes in verse 8, after he finishes all his greetings. After all the greetings, now we get to the purpose, and the very first thing is he writes this. Philemon, I have the right in Christ to be bold and to order you to do what you ought to do. But I'm not going to do that. Instead, I am appealing to you on the basis of love. As I am now myself a slave, a prisoner of Christ, your slave has returned to you. I am asking you to receive him as if he were my own son. And then Paul tries to lighten the mood a little bit in the letter. He kind of came out asking a pretty strong thing there. So he lightens the mood by using a play on words. You see, Paul writes that Onesimus was useless in the past, but now he has become useful for both you and for me. Now, at face value, I don't know about you, when I read this scripture, I was like, Paul kind of sounds a little selfish here. He's like, before I got a hold of him, he was useless. Hey, but now that I've got a hold of him, this guy's actually useful. In fact, he's been very useful to me, and now I'm sitting on back, and he's going to be useful to you. You're welcome, buddy. Right? I mean, it's kind of at face value. You're like, Paul, man, can't really think of high of yourself here, buddy. You know, but actually, when you look at that particular scripture, this statement, this kind of play, gets lost in the English translation, in the English language. That's because the name Onesimus in Greek means useful. So he was kind of having a fun play on his name. He was like, hey, he wasn't useful before, but he's useful now. All right? I mean, this is Paul essentially writing and reminding Philemon that in Christ, we are all useful now. And this is his kind of plea to his heart. Now, so Paul continues here as he's writing. He says, I am sending him back to you. I would have liked to have kept him, actually, with me because, well, he's quite honestly very helpful in spreading the gospel. But you are his rightful master, and the decision is yours alone. I do want him back, but it must be at your decision, not mine. I don't want this to become something that separates us. And then Paul tries to plead to Philemon's heart. We're just going to get in there a little bit. And so he pleads to his heart. And then he writes, perhaps, Philemon, perhaps the reason Onesimus left was so that you could lose a slave in order to gain a brother. He returns not only as a slave in debt to you, but as a brother who has been to the cross since you've last seen him, which is why he stands before you today. He is here to make things right. Now, there is no doubt in my mind that this was something that Paul wanted Philemon and those in the Colossae church to understand. You see, he was really hitting on this theme very strong. This idea that in Christ, we are all brothers and sisters. All of us are. Equal under the cross. You see, the world puts titles and positions and puts us in roles and this sort of thing. And Paul is saying, listen, that's fine and dandy down here, but under the cross, we're all equal. He says, we're all the same. We're all brothers and sisters. In fact, I'd be willing to say, I know that this is a common theme that Paul wanted to hit, particularly in this region or this part of Greece, whatever. He really wanted to hit this because waiting in the hand of Onesimus in the other letter, while he's holding this one, he's reading this one, but holding in this one is a letter that Paul wrote to the rest of the church that they haven't read yet. But you see, in this letter, Paul will give the whole church instructions on how to receive people who are doing what Onesimus is doing right now. How to receive people who are coming home after running away. You see, in that letter, the one that he's holding, Paul writes to the Colossians and says, in God's church, there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances that you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all in perfect unity. But that letter hasn't been read yet. So Philemon finishes the one that's in his hand. And so now Paul begins his conclusion to his friend. And he says, Philemon, if you consider yourself a true friend, I ask that you welcome Onesimus the same way that you would welcome me. If there is anything he still owes you, if there's any debt that he still has against you, charge it to me. I will take on his debt and I will pay it back. I only ask that he be set free so that he can rejoin me once again. And then he ends the letter with something only true friends would write. Something that you know the other person. He writes, oh, before I get off, one more thing. Prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to see you really soon when I'm out of chains. And please remember me as you pray. And then he signs the letter. And that's it. That's the whole letter. It's pretty short and sweet. Now, you're probably like me, and you're wondering, what happens? What happens? The letter just stops. Did Philemon receive him back? Did he say all is forgiven? Did he say, okay, I forgave your debt? Did he free him so that he could go back with Paul and rejoin his friend? I mean, what happened? And the answer is, we don't know. We don't know. We don't know what happens. The only other time that Onesimus is mentioned in Scripture at all is at the end of Colossians, the other letter that he was holding. You see, when Paul was signing off on that letter, he writes, I am sending two people to give you an update on how things are going here. Tychicus and Onesimus, a dear brother who is one of you. By the way, I have to believe this, that when Paul wrote that in Colossians, that he would have to be writing that in total and complete faith that Philemon would actually receive him back first. Then, only then, validating Onesimus' word as authority from Paul. Man. Now, if Philemon ever wrote a letter back to Paul with his decision, he's like, all right, listen, here's what's happened, X, Y, Z, right? We don't have it. There's no record of it. There's nothing that shows us what happened. There is no mention of his decision anywhere in Scripture. Now, we can speculate and probably guess in really good faith that he did what we all think he did. And actually, I feel that he did. One day I'll ask. But I think he did. But the point of this letter, friends, isn't what Philemon did. The point is, what would you do? What would you do if you were that guy? Make no mistake that this very short letter was written for you and for me today, right now. This entire letter deals with relationships among believers within the church. This letter really is one of the few that just deals with how we deal with each other, brother to brother, how we should be treating and viewing each other in the church. And let's just be real. Can I just be real with you for a moment? Sometimes it's easier to deal with someone outside the church than it is someone inside the church. I mean, I got some amens on that one. Listen, this is because, I'm just going to be real with you. This is because, well, we don't like accountability. We don't like being accountable to the things that the scripture tells us to be accountable to. It's because grace is really hard. Grace is hard. It's because asking for forgiveness hurts our pride. This is hard. And it's because living in the light takes way more work than just settling in the darkness. It's so much more work. It's so much more work. And so I'm going to just tell you, here are just three quick things that I pulled out of this letter that I think is for you and me today. You see, the very first thing, when I read this letter, and man, woo, listen, I had to take some breaks and walk around the house. I was like, man, Paul is writing this to us. You see, the first thing that instantly came out of there to me was that leaders operate in the light, not in secret. Leaders operate in the light. You see, Paul could have very easily just kept Onesimus, and probably no one would have ever known. You know what? You've got some baggage on you, buddy, but listen, no one will know you're here. Just stay with me. And man, you're doing good stuff anyway. Man, you're a great helper. You're really good at the gospel. This is really good. And no one here knows your story. No one knows where you came from. We can keep that between us. And so this easily could have just happened. Paul, just stay with me. There's no reason to go back. But you see, Paul knew that there was unsettled spiritual business. If Paul ignored that, he was teaching Onesimus that running was an acceptable way to deal with sin. And friends, it is not. You never lose, ever lose, when things are done in the light. When you're upfront, when you're straightforward, when you're honest, you don't lose. If someone is transferring from place to place, transfer in the light. We can do that. Leading in the light is always harder, but it will always produce eternal results. Every time. Every time. Now, the second thing I pulled out of there was that you and I, we are to handle conflict the same way Jesus did. Well, what do you mean by that? You see, at the cross, Jesus took on your debt and he made it his so that we could be free from the chains of this world. Paul justified Onesimus by taking on his debt, the debt that was rightfully his. Paul said, hey, whatever debt this guy owes you, charge it to me. Bill it to me. I'll take on his debt so that he may be set free. There may be someone else's debt that God is telling you to pay. Now, it could be physical or it could be spiritual. But I'm going to tell you that this act of paying someone else's debt is one of the few things that we can actually mimic from the cross, that we can show who we belong to. And then the last thing that I can easily just pull out of here is be generous with grace. Have it, and then be generous with it. Let it just come out. You see, Paul wasn't asking for Philemon just to do a physical thing. Hey, can you just can you just free this guy? I'll pay his debt and we could just free him. No, it wasn't a physical thing. He was asking him to do a spiritual thing. You see, it would have been one thing if he just said, hey, I'll pay his debt and then you can just be done with him. Just get him out of your life, kick him out, push him back my way. You'll never have to see this guy ever again. That'd be one thing. Kind of like, here, you're free, now go. You see, but that's not what Paul was asking. You see, he was asking, hey, I'll take care of his debt. But then he said, now, here's what I need you to do. Is I need you now to start calling him brother. It's not a slave, but brother. Forgive his debt and now see him as an equal. What do you mean by that? Can't do that. I'm his master. No. There's none of that over here. Not in this kingdom. He says, I need you to forgive the debt and call him brother. What this means is that once something is forgiven, once it's forgiven, you can't use it against them in the future. That's what this means. You can't keep bringing it up all the time. Like when you've had this serious heart-to-heart, this moment of resolution and reconciliation, once reconciliation has taken place, that old sin, that old debt is dead. Is dead. And so what happens here is that in order, it's critical. It is absolutely critical for any relationship to move forward, you have to forgive the debt. It has to be forgotten about. If you keep bringing it up, if you just keep holding it over their head, then that person actually never became a brother, but just a convenient slave when you needed them to be. You see, putting shackles on the relationship when you feel isn't very brotherly. And I'm just going to say right now, thank God that Jesus didn't do that for us. That when he paid our debt, it was forgotten. The scripture says, as far as the east is from the west, it's forgotten. But yet we can't go from northeast to east. I remember. And so be generous, show grace. And be generous with it. I'm going to invite Robert to come on up here to the piano with us. And I'm just going to say this morning that this letter from Philemon, as short as it is, speaks into our hearts and into our lives right now today in 2024. There may be a piece of this story in there that maybe I didn't even mention or bring up, but there's something else that God just stabbed right here. This is for you today. Here it is. And what I mean by that is that while we were diving into his word, he may have put a face in your head, a person. That when we started talking about reconciliation and conflict, when we started talking about how you hold the power over somebody else, there may have been a face or a person that popped up in there, and the Spirit is saying, that's the one. Don't forget this one. Don't forget this one. I want you to remember this face because that face is my son. He did this for you. And so today we're just going to take a moment. We're just going to sit and meditate. And maybe there's conflict in your life that needs to be dealt with. Maybe there's conflict in your family, conflict at the home that needs to be dealt with. Maybe someone is running away from you, running away. And they're starting their trek back home. And they're knocking on the door right now. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And we're just there. They're opening the door. That's the moment, friends. That's the one. That everything we talk about in church, everything we talk about in faith, all the stuff in Sunday school, all this stuff, that's the moment where it becomes real or not. Am I going to be like Jesus? Is that your hope and desire? Does it possess you to be like Jesus? So this morning, if there's something stirring in your heart, a conflict or something within you, and it might, listen, the conflict may actually be with the Lord. He may be stirring something in you and you're in conflict with Him. Listen, Lord, that's not going to happen. You've knocked on the wrong door. Listen, if there's something pulling at you, we're going to sing and I want you to come down. I'm going to be very honest with you and deal with it. Don't leave with it. Don't take it with you. That's the enemy's weapon. Deal with it. Drop it off and say, Lord, help me past this point. When I open the door, give me the right words to say. Lord, my arms are too weak, but help me bring my arms up so I can embrace them and hug them. Whatever it is, let's sing this together. To be like deep in your heart. Something that's just been there for maybe a long time. And Captain, I don't care what you say, but we're not dealing with that today. We're going to need some more time on that. And you know what? Okay. Because you see, what we also see in the letter, I mean, gosh, this letter is like so short, but oh my goodness. Like we see in the letter that Paul says, hey, you got to go back and deal with it, buddy. You can't just let it fester over you and become a part of your story from now on. That's not what this is going to be. He says, you got to go back and you got to deal with it. But he says, hey, but I'm going to send someone with you. I'm sending, you're not alone. And so I'm telling you today that if there is this type of conflict in the house, in the church, with someone else, with another believer, listen, you don't have to do it alone. There is always someone you could bring in, someone that can stand in the gap. Even Paul in his letter is saying, listen, I'm standing in this gap. Hear me out. This, by the way, is how it's done in the church. You see, in the world, it's you're dead to me, move on. I'm going to destroy you, move on. The church says, that's not the way. We got to, you know what? This is going to be hard, but there's got to be resolution, reconciliation. And the hardest thing to do, even for Onesimus, was to just start walking back toward the house. We're going to sing this again. This isn't going to be dragged down or anything like that. But I'm going to tell you that these are the things that make our faith real. These are the moments where we can actually release to just hand over the things that are just keeping us trapped. I don't want that stuff anymore. It's too heavy. So let's just sing this again. to be like Jesus. That if there is some type of conflict in any of your lives, and you feel like there, I need to have an intercessor, someone that can help bring two separate things back together, I want to tell you that I'm here for that. Jeremy's here for that. Your church leadership is here for that. We believe in this stuff, right? So we come up here and we preach about it. We talk about it. Listen, I've been a pastor long enough to see two things that you would think will never be repaired become the most beautiful thing on this side of heaven. I'm telling you, when your heart is right and it's ready, I can't do this alone. You don't have to. And then I even stand here on this stage with the microphone and everything that comes with it, that if your conflict is with me, I will humble myself. I will humble myself before the Lord to bring unity and to bring glory to the cross. Let's pray together. Father, we specifically right now pray in the power of Jesus Christ. Lord, we know that this world is structured and designed to be just to cause division and disunity. But Lord, your kingdom brings things that shouldn't be together as one. You make things one. And so, Father, my prayer today is that in this body of believers, in this church, in all the churches around us, Lord, that we be brought together as one in the kingdom of God, unified under the cross, that there is no Greek, that there is no Jew, there is no slave, there is no free, that all Christ is in all and is all. So, Lord, we pray for a spirit, a beautiful spirit of reconciliation to fall upon your people. Father, we pray for this unity upon your people. And that, Lord, we pray this because of what your Son did for us on the cross. That because of that moment, we can stand before each other and have full faith that we could be one now. So, Lord, we pray for these meetings to happen, these relationships to be mended. We pray for all of this, Lord, because we believe in you. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Refresh. Be sure to hit subscribe and like us on Facebook and YouTube to never miss an episode. If you liked what you heard, be sure to share it with your friends and family. We pray that you will be refreshed and ready to take on your week. See you next time. God bless.